Sunday Meditation, April 2nd,
1995.
Today we're going to take general questions and just have it be a question and answer session from the audience here gathered, which today is sizable from all corners of the planet.
We are those of Akuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. It is our privilege and our blessing to join this circle. And we thank each for seeking to discover that truth that lies within, and for coming together to further this divine curiosity. For truly, there is wisdom in each, yet when those of seeking mind together ponder and together discuss, that truth which lies within each often becomes more accessible from each to each, as those who are seemingly not at all you pluck the truth out of the thicket within those things which you have said and thought. Truly, it is a help to have friends along the way. And we are honored to be among those friends. We believe that you wish this session to be question and answer, and so we shall not give you a sermonette, as this instrument would call it, but simply remind each, as always, that we are not infallible. We have our limitations, and our opinions are just that. We greatly appreciate each seeker subjecting our thoughts and all others to the personal powers of discrimination that each has. We thank you for this great courtesy. We may begin with the first query.
I have a question. I've been thinking this week about what our Christianity and some other groups will call the mind of God. And I'd like to know, what is the mind of God? And does it exist?
We are those of Kuo. There are various levels of sense to possible answers to your query. Firstly, upon the level of literal word for word reality, the mind of God, as many have termed the Godhead, shall we say, is not a thing, but rather a construction of the human mind, which is determined to inject space and time into considerations of that which is infinite and eternal. Perhaps a more substantive response would be to suggest that all lies within the mind of God, shall we say. That is, all that you could name and all that you might forget to name, and all things whatsoever remain one thing, and that one is all that there is. Thusly, you who ask the query are the mind of God. This instrument who channels the impressions which we offer her is the mind of God. And each and every bit of stuff there is the mind of the Creator. For it is our impression that the creation is the Creator. And this Creator is not confined or retained within an image or form, but rather is an infinite intelligence. What many among your peoples have called the Logos, and what we often have called love. This great original thought or logos, which is love, is then perhaps our closest suggestion to a concept which approaches that which you have suggested as the mind of God, in that it contains within its concept all unmanifest and all manifest creation. However, it is well to note that within the illusions which you call the densities, each of you is the mind of God in potentiation. And the work done within the densities is in great part clearing away the various levels of confusion for each seeker. And in a third density, this clearing away is the clearing away of each seeker's self definitions, so that each may find within itself more and more the willingness and the instinct to take upon the self the role of that love, that logos, which is the original thought, realizing that within the illusions, the only manifestation of this logos shall come from your words and your hands. May we answer you more fully, my brother.
Then is the mind of God what we would say is intelligent infinity?
We are those of the Kuol. This is so, although the reverse would not be so. May we answer you in another way, my brother?
I can't think of a way to pursue this at this time. I do have some questions of a historical nature that relates to Christianity. Can you answer these for me?
We are those of Kuol. It is our specialty, shall we say, to address questions concerning tools and resources that may be helpful for seekers in a metaphysical sense, those who wish to accelerate the rate of change within their own spiritual evolution. When we receive questions which ask for specific information, sometimes we cannot answer because we do not know. Sometimes we cannot answer because there is infringement upon free will. And sometimes we choose not to answer or to answer in a limited way because to pursue a certain point would be to allow the tuning of the circle and the instrument to suffer with these limitations understood. We are glad to have at whatever you wish to discuss, my brother.
I appreciate what you say. And with that in mind, I will ask these questions and leave the answer up to you at your discretion. I've been concerned about the resurrection body of Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth. And if you would, I'd just like you to describe the nature of the resurrection, what we call the resurrection body that Jesus appeared in after the tomb, after he came out of the tomb.
We are those of Ukuo and believe we grasp your query. We look within this instrument's vocabulary for technical words which we might make use of. But we find that terms such as electrical body, astral body, and Buddha body have been so often and so variously used that we cannot call the resurrection body, as you have called it, by one of these terms without expecting confusion. However, let us say that the body which rose and walked from a cave was that body which this entity and all entities inhabit when they have not become incarnate. And they are yet within the inner planes. The closest we might come to a general description would then be the electrical body or the metaphysical body. It is a body which is far more densely filled with light and therefore is able to coexist with the third density illusion. Most bodies of this type are never visible to those within third density incarnation, mostly because the entities do not know how to so clothe themselves with third density material that they may become visible. The body of the one known as Jesus during this time was that body from which his earthly body had been made, the pattern-making body, that is. And this pattern-making or electrical body was simply picked up and put on, shall we say, but with a degree of faith that created manifestation. You may relate this kind of body to, we search this instrument's knowledge for the closest manifestation and find that this entity has seen the so-called psychic surgery and has seen such manifestations of electrical or form-making occurrences. They are indistinguishable from normal physical illusory bodies. However, their actual arena of living and working is within what we would call the metaphysical universe. May we answer further, my brother?
Did you say that the person known as Jesus of Galilee never incarnated in the beginning? He was never incarnated, as we understand the incarnation, in human flesh, but that he took upon, he just appeared and took upon a physical body from for his third density work? And also, how would that be related to what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when he apparently changed in appearance and possibly his body?
We are those of Akul. No, my brother, we did not suggest that the one known as Jesus had a birth other than in the usual way. We were saying rather that this entity picked up and put on the form-making or electrical body in a far quicker and more decisive frame of reference than is usual for those who have left third density incarnation by death. This was done because the one known as Jesus was aware that it was going through the processes of death, and it grasped ahead of time, shall we say, what its part was, and therefore the faith and surety that this entity had earned allowed it to move through this process as history has written it for your peoples. Do you still wish to ask the remainder of your query?
I do, please.
The so-called transfiguration was an event that was important to those who saw it, rather than the one known as Jesus. To the one known as Jesus, there was simply that basking in the light. To those who gazed upon him at this time, There was the fairly articulated manifestation of earlier prophets and teachers, each of which had a ceremonial structure created about it. This was created by the great desire of those disciples who saw this to understand more clearly where the one known as Jesus fit, shall we say, into the long-standing and respected teachings of their peoples. May we answer further, my brother?
Was there a UFO in the luminous cloud, or was this another, had another meaning?
We are those of Kual, and we find that this instrument is aware of several luminous clouds. Do you speak of one specific instance, my brother?
Yes, the Bible speaks of a luminous cloud there above Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, which we were speaking of. And there was a voice that came out of the cloud. And I was wondering if this was a UFO, and was this a psychically projected voice, or did it not occur at all?
We are those of Kual. My brother, this was indeed a psychically projected manifestation and voice. Yet, it did occur. At the same time that it did not occur in terms of its being a flesh and blood creation rather than a thought form in that particular instance, there was no UFO. Is there another query?
Were there two Yahwehs in the Old Testament? Or was there just one? Don't know exactly the best way to ask this. So perhaps you can shed some light on the character and of Yahweh in the Old Testament.
We are those of Kual. That which you have called Yahweh was within the framework of the a culture to which it came as was understood then, God itself. However, that personality which often was termed Jehovah or Yahweh was perhaps what you might call an angelic entity. And this entity was responsible, along with others, for looking after the development of self-consciousness upon your planet, and to aid in that development, this entity chose to concern itself in the affairs of those within third density. As the centuries passed, and as this very wise entity learned more about how to serve, it chose to reinvent itself and did so along lines which created the possibility of the coming of the so-called Messiah. The Yahweh which many worshipped was the Creator rather than this personality. However, throughout most of the beginning, shall we say, or the Torah of the Old Testament, the Jehovah character is a personality. May we answer further, my brother?
Then you were saying that it was just one entity predominantly that chose to reinvent himself, and not two separate competing entities, one a negative and one a positive.
We are those of Akul. This is correct, my brother.
Thank you. I have just one more question. When I was here 2 weeks ago, you spoke on this question of oneness for me and gave the analogy of actors on a stage playing a part, and they're getting their roles, although they remember their lines. I would ask you to speak again on the subject of this oneness of which we are all partake of. And it's been said so many times that we are all one. But yet I wish you would just speak without analogies, and speak just to the heart of the matter, and perhaps I can understand it better. Then how are we all one?
We are those of Kuo, and we are most happy to attempt to speak upon this subject so very dear to our hearts. Let us begin with things known by this instrument from her school days. The illusion is that which is real to those upon your sphere. And this illusion is created of that which you call atoms. These atoms are treated as though they were little particles that put together and become things. However, no scientist has been able to see any mass or substance when gazing at atoms or particles thereof. All that science has discovered are various fields of energy, so that the one known as Carla is a field of a certain kind of energy. The one known as Keith, just such another, and so forth. These various fields seem very real. Yet scientists can explain that there is no mass involved, just an arrangement of energies. Each self-conscious person is an energy field, then, which vibrates at a certain complex of levels in a characteristic way. The metaphysical identity of each person is this complex of vibrations, which is the signature of each evolving self-conscious entity. So within your density, it is impossible to see that there is no separation between the clothes and the body and the seat and the chair and the floor, and so forth. All these things appear separate. However, in any sense beyond that of energy fields, there is no separation. Now, within the mind, within the thinking and the feeling, as the mind gazes upon the creation, it thinks, it sees many different things. Yet, there are certain entities who are able, because of great similarities between them and you, to transcend the apparent separation between them and you. And such entities have been those that supported and strengthened you. The energies then that seemingly separate persons from persons are those dictated by the senses which your physical vehicles have. However, as we have pointed out, these senses, sense, illusion, an illusion which your scientists have penetrated. May we answer you further, my brother?
At your own discretion.
We would, at this time, transfer this contact to the one known as Jim, thanking this instrument and this group, and leaving it in love and light briefly. We are those of Kuo.
I, Kuo, and greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. We would ask at this time if there might be further queries from any within this circle of seeking.
I was wondering if you can clarify something for me. I've been having trouble with the keeping up of not only physical energies, but also emotional, mental, and spiritual. The physical energies, I can get more rest and eat, things like that. For the mental, emotional, and spiritual, what are some things I can do to help boost those as well?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. We would recommend to begin that you review those experiences in your past that have been helpful in the revitalizing of these energies. For many entities, it is helpful to find those written words of inspiration which may remind one, and in the reminding aid one to adopt a larger perspective that brings the unity and harmony of all creation more into focus for the present moment experience. The songs of inspiration are also of aid in the same regard. The moving within the I am quiet. And I'm again with this instrument. As the season of your springtime begins to make its presence felt within your illusion, there is much of inspiration and revitalization that is available from the second density. There are many entities of an inspirational nature that are hidden, shall we say, within each entity's the daily round of activities to keep the inner eye open in anticipation of such entities moving within one's own path is always helpful for the guiding hands, shall we say, that are with each entity in an unseen manner, will often take the opportunity to reawaken the passion for existence and the living of the life by moving one to cross the path of such entities in what seems to be a coincidental manner. Is there a further query, my brother?
No, thank you very much.
I am Quo, and we thank you, my brother. Is there another query?
I would like to ask if you could comment on the relation between space-time and time-space. I'd be happy with a short comment.
I am Quo, and am aware of your query, my sister. We hope that you realize that this is the topic which can fill volumes, my sister. For it is that which encompasses all that is. The illusion which you have it at this time is a reality which is constructed of the energy of love with many forms or personalities moving through the interaction and interplay of the Creator. Within this experience, this classroom, shall we say, the emphasis of the Creator is upon the experience that is possible to be gained from those who momentarily create a situation in which they forget the basic truths of being and set for themselves the task within space-time of rediscovering these truths within the veil of forgetting, thus adding great weight of meaningfulness to such discoveries. Thus within space-time, the plans created before the incarnation within the realms of time-space are set into motion so that there is much self-awareness and awareness of all that can be gained by exploring the great darkness, seemingly so, with the tiny candle of consciousness. The weight of the experience within space-time is more upon the shoulders of space, so that there is movement there more possible than in the more inflexible time as it moves, or shall we say more correctly, as it is perceived in its linear fashion. Within the realm of time-space, the weight is more on the shoulders of time, where more flexibility is there appreciated, movement in time being as easily accomplished as movement in space within the physical space-time illusion. Thus, the freedom and wider perspective of time-space offers the more fully experienced presence of the One Infinite Creator, but with less, shall we say, ability to progress along a path which is more obviously unified than is possible upon a path which is seemingly less unified, as it is within the space-time illusion. Is there any further query, my sister?
Am I correct in thinking that our conscious mind is in space-time and the subconscious in the time-space is a veil of forgetting what separates the two? Do you comment on that?
I am qual, and am aware of your query, my sister. The veil of forgetting is a phenomenon which is occurring and utilized only within the third density, so that a choice of paths might be made at this point in the evolutionary path. Thus, the existence of a divided mind, that which is conscious and that which is below or subconscious, is possible only with the veil of forgetting in place, which occurs, as we have mentioned, within the third density only. Is there a further query, my sister?
You still didn't answer if the conscious, if our conscious memory, or what they call consciousness, third density, is in space-time and the subconscious resides in time-space.
And believe that we grasp your query, my sister. Though it is somewhat difficult to answer in a concrete fashion, we would suggest that your assumption is in large part correct. Although it is also possible for those who are trained to travel in time-space to do so in a conscious fashion. Is there a further query, my sister?
Two more questions and I'll be off. Okay, so to do conscious work in the subconscious is what they call the Sosra tradition, or, you know, the people, largely known as sorcerers in some cultures. Mm-hmm. That's what they do, the shamans and so on. But is it necessary for third density people to be able to do that work?
I am Kuo, and believe that we grasp your query, my sister. It is not necessary for third density entities to be able to move consciously within the either subconscious realms of their own minds or the time-space realms of their local creation in order to be able to be graduated from this third density illusion to the fourth density. What is necessary for such a graduation is that an entity be desirous of serving others in a loving and compassionate manner, more in a percentage, shall we say, than it desires to serve itself. Is there a further query, my sister?
Okay, my last question. As we move from the third density into fourth, do we move from the present space-time into time-space continuum?
I am quote, and am aware of your query, my sister. We would suggest the pondering of the densities containing both time-space and space-time from the third density through the latter portions of the sixth density, so that there are experiences that may be seen as incarnational and experiences which may be seen as pre- and post-incarnational as well within each of these densities. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you.
I am Kuo, and we thank you once again, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I have one personal question, Kuo, and I'll let you comment on it in the way that you feel is appropriate. I sometimes notice that when I find a moment, some image that is inspirational, I sometimes come to think of sharing it with your particular personality, and I just wonder if when I do that, do you actually have better access to the feeling of the moment or the thought of sharing, or the actual perception from the illusion, or if it's just some mind construct that I put together?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. When a gift is offered to us, it is as a calling for us, and we are there, and appreciate the sharing which you so generously offer, and which gives us a taste, as shall we say, of your experience that we would not have without your dedication of it to us. Is there a further query, my brother?
No, for that, I don't have any more questions. Thank you for a word sort of eluded me, so I'll just say that I don't have any more questions.
I am Kuo. We thank you for your gift, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
If others don't have a question, I'd like to ask a question. Sometimes, you know, we receive inspirations, voices, intuition. Sometimes they have a weight of truth, reality, and sometimes it could be, it's not true. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to distinguish between the voices of the ego, what my ego is as a personality wants, and what the voices that of the Creator, the genuine, more true thoughts, inspirations. Can you help me in how to distinguish between the thoughts and in a way that I would follow the word of creator, not of the personality. I think there is a difference between the two. Could you please comment on that?
I am aware of your query, my sister. We would recommend that you find that place of peace within you, whether you utilize meditation, prayer, or contemplation, that you move within to that sacred room and await there the answer until it comes. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you.
I am cool, and again we thank you, my sister. Is there a final query at this time?
Give you a final query. It's a personal question. I seem to have been blessed with a desire to do a whole lot more than I can do. That just seems to be my situation. Do you have any comments on this situation? I find myself so desirous of doing more, and I'm already doing more than I should in terms of my the balance of my life. Any comments on this situation would be appreciated.
I am Kwa, and am aware of your query, my sister. As we observe the well-known and well-stated pre-incarnative disposition to activity, and observe the choices made for the incarnation, which were for the purpose of dealing with this very issue, we see now that the choices have been made conscious, and you have before you much of that which you had before you before this incarnation. Thus, you are in a place of total free will, where all that you desire to do lies before you as flowers in a garden to be picked or sniffed for scent and left as they are. Again, the meditative state is that place wherein the greatest clarity for each seeker is possible to achieve, and we would recommend that you make a time for this consideration that would coincide with a, shall we say, rebirthing ritual that much like unto the springtime season that moves within your local environment at this time. And during this time of contemplation, prayerful thought, and the gaining of a sense of the self reborn, we would suggest that this is a means by which the subconscious mind might be alerted to the desire to know more of what is appropriate at this time for your experience within the illusion. Is there a further query, my sister?
Oh, thank you, Kuo, very much.
I am Kuo, and we thank you once again, my sister. We would take this opportunity to express our great joy and gratitude to each in this circle of seeking for inviting us this day and for giving us the gift of your queries, your concerns, and your desire to know that which is helpful upon your journeys of seeking. We move with you on this journey and appreciate the desire that fuels each present and salute it as that force of motivation which is most important within each seeker's journey. Not so much each experience or thought, but the process of the seeking, seen as a pattern, as a purpose, as a direction. We are those of Kuo and would at this time take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each, as always, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
Thank you, Kuo.